I'm Susan Young. I'm the chair of the board of KPFT Local Station Board. This is the Local Station Board regular meeting of May 10th, 2023. We're calling to order at 7:08. Mr. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Who's asked for,
apologies. Let me just note that we have requests for excused absences. Lillian Kerr, Jane Seidler, Sean McPherson, Henry Faust, Cassandra Thibodeau, and Egberto Willis. Is there a motion to excuse those?
Can you read the names again?
Yeah.
Lillian Kerr, Henry Faust, Jane Seidler, Sean Kelly McPherson, Cassandra Thibodeau, and Egberto Willis.
Yes, I make a motion that they be excused.
Seconded
by Mike. Are there objections?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so then take the roll.
Okay. There's a total of six people, right?
Yes.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
I say yes.
Yes. excuse me, Britton?
I'm here.
No, we're approving the excused absence.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Adriana Casanave. Adriana, you there? Gardner? What was that? Was that Adriana?
I think we should actually take roll before we excuse absences.
Yep.
Thank you, Teresa. And apologies, Richard, would you be kind? I don't know which is the right way to go about it. Will you take this opportunity to call the roll, and then we'll come back and have the vote on excused absences.
Okay. Alan?
Alan says, hello, I'm here.
Britton?
I am here.
Okay.
Said the blind man.
Casanay. Gardner?
Here.
Thank you. James?
Here.
Thank you. Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Thank you. Lokender?
Here.
Thank you. Martinez? Marianne? I think she's here. Marianne, you're muted.
Why don't you come back to her?
Okay. Pratka? Pratka, you here? Sabara Naritomi? Nancy?
Present.
Okay.
Present.
Thank you. Deb Chapto? Okay, Mama Sonia? She's here, I think.
I see her. There she is.
Thank you. Bill Stone?
I'm here.
Thank you. Richard Uzel's here. Sandy Weinman?
Present.
Thank you. Ted Weisko?
Here.
Thank you. Venetia Williams?
Here.
Thank you. Susan Young?
Here.
Okay. And then we have these six names for excused absences. Kerr, Faust, McPherson, Scheidler, Thibodeau, and Willis.
There was a motion by Mary Ann to excuse the absences that was seconded by Mike Lewis. There was an objection. Go ahead and take the count for the
request
vote.
Request for information.
What's your request?
Present. I'm present.
Great. What's your request, Ted?
Actually, it's a point of parliamentary inquiry. I would like to know if this is a debatable motion.
No.
Can you mark me as present, please?
Okay.
No. So please go ahead and take the vote.
Okay, Alan?
Alan, yes. Yes to excuse the absences.
Britton?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Casane? Let's see where we're at. Gardner?
No.
No. James?
Yes.
Yes. Lewis?
Yes.
Yes. Locander?
Yes.
Yes. Martinez?
Yes.
Yes. Pratka? Where are you at? Sabara Naratomi? Nancy?
They all asked for an excused absence?
Who? Yes, they all
did.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, yes.
Yes, thank you. Shafto, are you here yet? No. Mama Sonia?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Stone?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Uzel, yes. Weinman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Weiskel?
No, and a point of personal privilege.
No, William?
To make it known that I disagree with the chair's decision. But because I want to expedite the business, I am not going to appeal the decision of the chair.
Oh, God.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, Williams?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Young?
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. Twelve to two and one abstention.
Okay. So now for the agenda. The agenda has been provided to everybody in advance. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Point of parliamentary.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Okay, who asked?
Ted.
Ted, okay. Ted, speak up.
I submitted 10 motions for discussion tonight under new business. I am wondering what the status of those 10 motions is.
So, Ted, I suggested that one of those motions was appropriate for the agenda, and that was to consider whether to reconvene in person or continue in Zoom. Every other one of your motions has already been addressed in one way or another. You ask the committees convene. Conveners have been named. You ask that MSRC start a review of the GM. That review, as you have had explained by Stephanie Wells, will not happen until after she has evaluated general managers. You asked a number of questions that should appropriately be posed in Q&A to the IGM. I find only one of your requests for motion to be germane. Mm-hmm. And that is the question of whether we convene in person or continue in Zoom meetings. Are you making a motion to add that to the agenda under new business?
I am.
Say, is there a second to Ted's motion?
What is
the for last second? So I also invite a motion to
I said second.
To include.
Okay, so So it's been moved and seconded. Who seconded it? Was that Sister Momotonia?
Gardner is. Okay. Yeah. Right. If you're talking about the one you were speaking about.
So, Ted, would you like to speak in favor of reconvening, of adding this to the agenda under new business?
I think it's
I should say, are there objections to adding?
Yes.
Okay, so there's objections. It will be faster if we just go to the vote to get it on or off and then discuss the merits of the item when it's on the agenda. So there's right. been a second and an objection. Mr. Secretary, will you take the vote, the roll call for yes, if you wish it added to the agenda under new business, and that is a motion to reconvene in person, meetings in person. No, if you oppose adding that to the agenda.
Madam Chair, can we have a discussion?
This is not about the issue. It's about adding it to the agenda or not.
Okay, all right.
It's not about whether we reconvene.
Yes, okay. Is to add. Yes, is to add. No, is not to add. Okay,
right.
Alan?
Alan will say yes.
Yes. Britton?
Yes.
Yes. Casanay? I hope she's all right. Where are we at now? Gardner?
Yes.
Yes. James?
Yes.
Yes. Lewis?
Yes.
Yes. Locander?
Yes.
Yes. Martinez?
Abstain.
Abstain. Pratka, you here yet?
I'm sorry, Richard. Based upon something that Mr. Pratka told me earlier this week, I don't think he's going to come on the call at all today.
Okay. Savar Naratomi?
No.
No. Shafto? Where is that girl? Sister Momotonia?
Yes.
Yes. Stone?
Abstain.
Abstain. Uzel? I'm gonna pass. Weinman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Weiskel?
Yes.
Yes. Williams?
No.
No. Young?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, I'll vote no. Okay, we've got, did I miss anybody? I don't think I did.
Richard, I'm just letting you know I just got here.
Oh, you're here. Okay. You just rode in on a coyote or something? Okay, you can vote on this motion that's going down right now. It's Ted moved to add a motion of his to the agenda. And the motion is about whether to start meeting again in person. Do you want to add that to the agenda or not? Sean Kelly.
Pass. I didn't hear any of the discussion. I pass.
Okay, you,
abstain.
Okay. All right, let's see what we got. 1, 6, 7, 8. You got 8, yes. I think this is right. I always go back and recount these before I write them in the book. But it's 8 yes, 3 no, 5 abstain.
So So the motion passes, and that will be added to new business on the current agenda. I also request a motion to amend the agenda. This agenda provides that there will be a CAG report every biannually, and that the first one will be in July, and I request that the first one be in June, and that the next one be 6 months later. The reason why is there a second to my motion?
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay, great. Just to motivate quickly, PK has offered to make she has a PowerPoint presentation about the history of the CAB since 2018. I thought that's very important to have, but I would like for us to be able to have that in hand before we actually meet and discuss it. And so I think that we can have our sixth review in June. Is there any objection to changing the agenda to provide that the CAB presentation will be in June? Hearing none, so there's been a motion and a second and a couple of amendments. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended?
Is that an objection to what?
Approving the agenda as amended.
Objection to what now?
Approving the agenda as amended. Okay, here's
hello?
No objection.
Hello, my phone keeps blanking out. Was that an objection to what now?
Approving agenda as amended.
Oh, I was trying to get my phone off. As far as you said the CAB will only have a report every 6 months? Twice a year?
Yes.
Okay, was that a motion?
It's included in the agenda.
Excuse me.
Can you define what it is?
So, I mean, I'm confused. I thought the motion was that there would be a report in June.
Yes.
And that's separate from there being an agenda. I mean, that's separate from it being every 6 months, correct? But that's two different topics, really.
Yes, it is. Let's take up that the report of the CAB will be in June. Is a part of this agenda.
Okay.
Ted.
I would like to be recognized when we get to agenda approval or minutes approval.
At agenda right now. I've asked, are there objections to approving the agenda as amended?
No.
I have a question, a request for information.
What's your question?
It was my understanding that the governance committee is on hiatus. Can I be, and everyone else, be informed as to
HR Jam.
Status of the governance committee?
We're just trying to do the agenda, bro.
Ted, there will be a report from the convener under that agenda item. So is there any objection to approve agenda as amended? Hearing none, it's approved. Okay, next item up, minutes.
I'd like to move the approval of the April the 12th minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, are there any objections to approving the minutes of April 2nd, of April 12th?
Yes.
Okay. What is your objection, Ted?
It does not appear as though there's any written report available at kpftx.org for the minutes or the report of the general manager, nor is there any report in writing of minutes for previous month's meetings. I've gone to...
I'm going to find your point of order out of order, because it's not germane to the question of approving the April 12th minutes. It is a separate matter, which is, are the minutes of prior meetings adequately posted? And that can be brought up separately. This is approval of the April 12th minutes. You do not have an objection to the April 12th minutes. Are there any other objections to the April 12th minutes?
I object to the reading of the chair.
Hearing none, they're approved. Okay.
Request for information.
What's your request, Ted?
When can we discuss the issue of the written posting of the minutes?
I suggest that what we do is to get them up to date between now and the next meeting.
Thank
all
you.
Posting up to date between now and the next meeting. Okay. Staff recognition. I'd like to recognize a lot of hard work by staff that's in Fund Drive right now, and a lot of hard work by Mo and Howard and Bill Crozier and Sandy to continue to get fully up to speed with HD2 and others. And I know that repairs are being made that will make the building ready for a grand opening. And I'd like to thank Robin and Nancy McAfee and Annette and others for working on putting the grand opening together. Are there other staff recognitions?
When is that grand opening?
It isn't yet. We have to have certain things, all the repairs completed by then. We'll give a full report when it's ready.
Okay.
I want to thank our general manager and the interim volunteer program director for lining up an environmental show. I did not see it in the GM's report, so perhaps he can remind us when that show is. But it's so nice to have an environmental show. We'll have
as a part of Q&A.
We'll ask him in his report, but thank you very much for lining that all up. Thank you.
Other staff recognition. Okay, IGM report. Sandy, take it away.
Thank you. I don't know if anybody mentioned Robin Lewis, but she's working her tail off too. As was mentioned, we're in our May fund drive and our goal is 150,000, just like in February. When I last checked, we had $41,349 booked through Allegiance. This is the seventh day. This marks the first week's end. That total includes the rollover pledges, about 11,500 of that maybe was rollovers. So that's really the focus until May 28th is that $150,000 goal and getting the money in so that we can keep on going until August. I want to thank Mo Thomas and also the people at ARC Telecom. We got our internet straightened out and things are running much smoother. We're not getting any dropouts. We still have a problem at the transmitter with the internet, and we're evaluating two alternatives in terms of long-term cost of ownership, one being a tower on our property akin to what we had at Lovett and using a 10 gigahertz transmitter to hit our tower and then hit the 100,000 watts from there, the other being high-speed internet at the transmitter. And that's a monthly cost. It's going to do nothing but go up over time and likely become antiquated over time as well. So we're looking at those two things. Someone mentioned it, Bill Crozier, Howard Reynolds, Moe, working in the HD2 studio. We now have this beautiful on-air light. Intercom talkback has been added to the board so that the engineer can talk to the people on the other side of the glass without anybody else hearing it. It's a very important feature in the radio studio. We were also able to silence the ringing telephone in the studio, which was incredibly annoying. And we now have a flashing light. Again, thanks to Bill Crozier for figuring that one out. A little bit of MacGyver there. So good job on that one. The Art Car Parade, I need to mention that. It went by Boyd Bluestein and Sonny Boy Terry in the vehicle, along with a number of KPFT volunteers, and Robin Lewis and Darrell Robbins for getting things worked out and ready, Nancy McAfee. And thanks to Howard and Nuri for holding down the KPFT table. We had a real good showing, and I think it was a good time for all. Film at 11. And someone mentioned Marlo. She's recovering from a little stomach problem. She's sounds much better. I hope she comes back very soon. She's continued on scheduling the board operations and all the other things that need to be done, making sure all the back office is with Confessor is taken care of and making the transition and the recent schedule changes possible. The music server that's been installed by Howard's becoming a big hit. In fact, it's almost replacing our automation system where programmers are coming in with everything installed, ready to go. So I think our level of preparation for being on air will continue to increase, and with it, the quality of what's being done. Underwriting, we're getting about 2.5% of our total needs trickling in. And we need to go out and find a commission-based salesperson at some point. And Robin and I have agreed to wait until after the May drive to begin that search. I want to thank Susan Darrow in particular, and again, Robin, for gathering the tickets that you hear on the air that we're asking donations for and are still very popular. Hang on, I got some... There we go. Co-hosting duties there. That was PK trying to get in. They gathered up all the tickets from all the venues. That's not easy work. It's a lot of phone calls, and it continues to be, in terms of being updated daily by Susan Darrow, who takes stock of what tickets moved out, prints a new list with availabilities so that we don't overbook, oversell, and can provide proper pitching. It's very important when you're in the studio and how that's presented. And lastly, in terms of this drive, something really cool, we're doing these bricks. I don't know how many people have listened to the pitches on the air, but for $25 a month on a sustaining basis, you can get a 4x8 brick and engrave whatever you want in that brick. And the brick will be laid in the pathway leading up to the front door or at Caroline Street. So you've seen this at museums and other places where you walk in and you see the bricks in the ground. Even Minute Maid Park has this. We're doing the same thing at KPFT on this particular drive. And again, you get a 4x8 brick for $25 a month. And if you want, you can do $50 a month and get an 8x8 brick. And you will work it out with Robin, and we'll get whatever custom engraving on your brick. And they'll all be laid at the same time after this fun drive concludes. HD2 remains almost ready. It's being heavily used as a production studio this week. And we're putting the finishing touches on it. Some work was being done on that this morning. I want to thank Debbie Smith and her family, the building committee entirely. They've really done quite a bit down there. And this weekend they're going to set a rail on our front porch. They already redid all the tile that was all busted up, made it look shiny and new or pretty close to it. And now they're going to put in a metal handrail, which is a good safety thing, number one. But also, I think it'll look really good. So I want to thank them for all the hard work they've been doing and are about to do on Saturday. If you want to join them, they usually start about, 10 o'clock in the morning and stay till about 4 in the afternoon. I think I mentioned it last month, but I'm going to mention it again. The new air conditioner is working great, and I want to thank 68 Degrees HVAC and Steve Guterad for that donation. I don't know where we would be without it, so that was pretty significant. I think Teresa mentioned programming. There's just a whole lot of things going on with the programming. As you noticed, Egberto Willis is now on Monday to Friday at 6 a.m., and he's taken up that operation pretty smoothly. We had a bumpy start the first couple days getting him all wired into the studio from home, but it's working really well now, and the phone's ringing, and he's taking calls. You've also probably noticed that after U-Talk is over, we have a 30-minute strip Monday to Friday. Laura Flanders on Monday, Raging Skillin' on Tuesday, Economic Update Wednesday, Food Sleuth on Thursday, Counterspin on Friday. And then from 9:30 to noon, Susan Darrow, who again I want to thank for her graciousness and with all the moving around, it's pretty hard on programmers, for moving to that morning slot from 9:30 to noon and so far raising a bunch of money. So thank you, Susan, for all of that. At noon on Monday, we do have a new environmental show. It's Green New Houston with Pervez Aguan. Pervez has a master's degree from MIT in business and a master's in mechanical engineering from Texas A&M. He's heavily engaged in many of the renewable projects in West Texas and knows his stuff. And the first couple shows, he's focused on local environmental groups, having them on the air and explain to everybody what they're doing. So we're off and running with that. That's Monday at noon. Tuesday at noon is Moral High Ground with Dean Becker, as it was before. And Wednesday, today, Bob Sanborn and Growing Up in America. That was a really good show today. Hope you heard it. Thursday is Pacifica Business Talk with John Henry. And then we've added a new show on Friday with Tori and Terry, Love in Black. Now, you guys, everybody's got to listen to this. Great relationship show. They're both licensed counselors, and they do that for a living. And they're married, so it's a really cool dynamic. The R&R show has moved to 1 to 3 in the afternoon. And once again, I want to thank Ronnie Renfro and Tom Richards for volunteering to do this. They're professionals, and they proved it once again today. They had a good funding day today. And then from 3 to 6, it's Rourke in the afternoon. So that's the new lineup, and we're real excited about all of it. In terms of the schedules, you can find links to all that at kpft.org. Check it out. Our listenership, according to the last Radio Insight report, which is the Nielsen report, put in formats that people can understand, showed that our AQHRQ jumped to 89,800. Prior month, it was below 50,000. So reorganizing, putting on new programming is beginning to take hold, and we saw a nice rise. The goal, by the way, for AQH, in my mind, the immediate goal is to get that number to read 150,000. Coming up, we have a lot going on in terms of community outreach. I want to remind everybody that Mr. McKinney is still offering his bus ride, and you really need to be part of that. It's a $75 donation, and you'll get to ride along with other people that have donated. And it's a good way to really meet some of the listeners close up and personal. On May 23rd, roll up your sleeve. The Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center will have a mobile van parked in the lot next door. And we're going to start talking about that quite a bit on the air coming up here in the next very soon. So we're going to have a blood drive on May 23rd. I want to look back and just thank Cassandra Thibodeau and Teresa Allen and Robin Lewis and Di Conkling and all the others that made it possible to have Paper Moon Shiners at 14 Pews. The event raised, I want to say $1,200 or $1,300. I think it's
$1,100.
Thank you very much. Nice to be accurate, but it was a nice group and everybody had a good time. And the fact is it's $1,100 we did not have before. So thank you very much. Coming up, we have a night for Guy that's going to be at Rockefeller Hall. It's one of our fund drive premiums, and also Grant Peoples will be doing a benefit concert at Anderson Fair for the station. Those are a couple of events that are also folded into our fund drive as premiums. So good to generate your own energy internally, and that's really two good examples. In terms of our financial condition, as of May 7, 3 days ago, Markeisha reported that we had $116,165 of free and clear funds in the bank. These are not grant funds. These are not restricted funds in any way. And so at our burn rate, that's roughly about 9 weeks of running room, which is good. And now we're back in fund drive. We paid all of our major bills for this month of May. This includes central services once again. Our credit card remains paid off and will be. Anything we put on it will be paid at the end of the month. The 53 for 53 campaign raised $29,203 when it was frozen. That's right, frozen, because now we're in our spring fund drive, replacing that. And when the spring fund drive's over in June and July, we're going to resume the 53 for 53 campaign. It's a good way to fill in the gaps between months. And I want to remind everybody, we're one bad fund drive away from a disaster. So having these in between months and these kind of campaigns really helps to steady things out. So thanks to all that work on those. And thanks to Teresa Allen, Rob Lee, and Augie, and the many others that come in and call lapsed donors on somewhat of a regular basis. And we all compare our notes at the end of the day, and we say, well, how'd you do? And Teresa will say, I didn't do so good.
Nice, sweetie.
But Augie got two sustainers. There you go. It's like any kind of, they're having fun with it and at the same time helping to fund the station. So thanks to that. I've told you for the last couple of months, before we had applied for a Hershey Foundation grant. We've learned that we're not this time around going to receive the grant. They gave a couple of specific objections. One was addressable, and we're going to address it. And this is incorporating three groups that they want to see folded into this program. So Preveza Guan will reach out, talk directly with the Hershey Foundation. I will attend too. And we will make sure that we include and then reapply. The other objection they had, and this is something that's really more difficult to do something about, but at the end of the day, we all can do something about. And that is, they're worried about the viability of the Pacifica Foundation. And this is going to be something that's going to come up over and over and over again with any grant application. If you bothered to read our audit reports, kind of like that moment when Donald Trump pointed to the picture and said, that's my wife. Well, not quite, Donald. And not quite that, you know, our condition is that strong that it won't come up over and over. It will. And each of us on this call tonight has a responsibility to see that that $150,000 goal is met and that the financial viability of the Pacifica Foundation is something other than what it is currently, which is pretty damn rotten. Okay? So Robin's report really goes a lot of detail on things. I'll take questions.
Okay, are there questions for Sandy?
Okay.
Teresa?
Sandy, tell me again when the environmental show is and where.
It's Monday, noon, on okay. HD1.
I just didn't see it with the others.
Okay. It's there. I didn't highlight it. I should have highlighted it. I'm sorry.
I did want to mention that Grant Peoples, who is performing at Rockefeller's on June the 2nd, which is a Friday night, I believe. He also performed at the event that was for Larry Winters, the Larry Winters Memorial concert.
He did.
Yeah. It was nice to see him there. And I mean, so he's driving in, I'm probably driving in for Kerrville. And thought of us. That's very nice. Yeah. So I'm glad Susan set that up at Anderson Fair.
Oh, one thing I didn't mention, and I should have in terms of programming. We're going to do on May 24th. May 24th is my granddaughter's birthday. So KPFA and WPFW and ourselves, we're going to do a birthday special for Bob Dylan. Yeah. And we're going to have live performance in each of those studios. Each studio will get an hour on a Wednesday afternoon. And we're going to flip across the country and have Bob Dylan songs performed in those 3 hours. KPFA has booked David Gans and Friends. For those of you that don't know that name, he's a host on the Sirius Grateful Dead channel and is also a touring musician nationally. And his friends may include some very interesting San Francisco, Oakland Bay Area people. We've booked Carolyn Wonderland, who decided to bring Shelley King, and then added Marsha Ball to that trio or that group today to get the Texas Trio in our studios. So I wonder what Washington, D.C. is going to come up with. Just putting that in there. Thank you. Ted, you got your hand up. And then Nancy. Unmute, please, Ted.
I have two questions. The first one is I've been having problems with Democracy Now's sound being uneven. Is it something wrong with my radio? It's the only program on KPFT I have trouble with. I'm wondering what that's all about. And my second question has to do with tickets. You mentioned that we're getting tickets for lots of events. I'm wondering if we're getting tickets for anything other than music, specifically plays, lectures, and films.
Thank you, Ted. First off, with Democracy Now!, they give us a feed that's sometimes not right. In other words, it's on the end in New York, and they're aware of some of these problems. Okay? That's what that is. It's just a stream that we play. So we get a URL, like any internet address, and it's got the audio content, and that's what plays. So it's on the other end. And we had the same problem with other programs, such as when we had Tom Hartman. It still is inconsistent. As to getting tickets for other events, please, Ted, go dive into the universe, gather those tickets and bring them back, and let's put price tags on them and talk about them on the air. Go get them, man. Thank you.
Nancy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, some of the HD2 shows are, especially on Sunday, are repeats for about a month, and it's not every one of the shows, it's just some of them. Like I heard the planetary show is only 30 minutes, but it's in an hour, and so after 30 minutes, it repeats itself again. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or... You know, it's just weird hearing the same show twice in an hour. And then some of the other shows like the Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson Hour, I think that's the name of it.
Thomas
that's
Jeff- good right? show
too. Yeah, I'm hearing, repeat shows like the list when they made their favorite list of, historic, history things in the history. I just don't know whether it's, I mean, we had this problem before, and Bobby told me sometimes the show doesn't come in at the right time, so they play the one from the week before.
Well,
but I'm hearing it a lot.
That's a possibility. That's one possibility. The other possibility is the show doesn't come in at all. One of the things that we had to do when we searched for those 30-minute shows on HD1 in the morning is make sure that the consistency of the host was there. In other words, did they update faithfully for every week? And I would look back over the last at least 1 year to make sure they had a track record, because not all of these shows, which amount to podcasts, not all the producers do that. Everybody needs a week off now and then, I think.
Yeah, but it's kind of disappointing when I have to hear the same one like two weeks in a row, or I'm just, you know, thinking, is there a way we can help find other shows on AudioPort that we could do? I mean, I don't know how much time you have to know, oh, it's another the same show, that how much time you have to find another show. I don't really understand how y'all do that.
Yeah, no, this is a very difficult proposition and occupies a lot of Howard's time, Nancy.
Well, get a programming committee to do that. Be looking
at all
the
things
on
your board. It's not that easy. A lot of software.
Well, one person or two person, that's really difficult. But I mean, if you had a committee, that'd be different. And HD2 shows are not being promoted on the HD1. And there is no other way that the existence of those HD2 shows, that those programmers work really hard, like the HD1 programmers work really hard, but they need to have some kind of promotion. Otherwise, it's by chance that a car with an HD2 channel, HD2 possibility of listening to, just comes across it. But if it's on the FM1, some kind of cart, like we're on the HD2, there used to be more carts before. Now I don't hear it almost at all except the People's News. So the other way is by having an HD radio at home, and very few people have it. The cheapest one is like $80. So can you please consider, at one time I made this suggestion last summer or last fall, I can't remember, and I didn't hear any difficulty in doing that. I mean, if you can ask those programmers to make a cart. Otherwise, it's not respectful, in my opinion.
Actually, we do. And
not for every show. Just the People's News is doing that.
Okay, thanks for the recommendation, Nancy.
Anybody that has a show is invited to do a cart, and we put that out over and over, and we want that.
And also, are they all loading up on AudioPort? Because that's a real important thing. That's what allows the other 200 affiliate stations to take our programming or segments of our programming and play on their station, and vice versa. We can
Nancy, our programmers are volunteers. If they want to do that, they can do that.
Do you have an account on AudioPort, and can you help the others make an account? I heard it's rather challenging, but if you have one, you know how to do it. Could you kind of help them? There was a motion passed by the PNB in 2020 to all the managers to please help get their programmers into AudioPort accounts so they can download their show and it can be taken up by other stations. There's 200 affiliate stations that can take our programming.
You are, frankly, you're occupying a lot of time. You've come up with a lot of recommendations. Sandy has heard them. Are there any other questions for Sandy? Okay, we are 2 minutes away, 3 minutes away from public comment. I suggest that we start the time certain. Sorry, Richard, do you have a question? I don't hear you. Richard, you're muted.
Unmute.
Who are you talking about?
Richard is waving his hand. He is muted at the moment. I don't know what he's trying to tell us. Quit. Stop. Okay, doing it.
Tell him to write in the chat.
So we're starting public comment now. Are there people who wish to, members of the public who wish to speak? So, PK, are you asking to speak?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
I wrote an article this weekend about controlling our narratives. It was about a Black Queen story. There was a Black Queen in England. Her name was Queen Charlotte. I hate it when we can't control our own narratives. And you don't have to like me, but I do think that it is time I ask for respect. The idea about I have never sent anything to the LSB from any other email than perrymack@gmail.com, and that people were returning or responding to what I wrote. And so when someone says, my email was a problem. My email was not a problem. And it almost feels like you're trying to make me be incompetent. If an email goes back, bounces back once or twice, you also have my number. Call me. It would have been easy enough to solve. Instead, I was told that I wasn't telling you what I was doing. I wasn't responding to some of your questions, which you talk about dilatory. Sometimes they felt that way. I have been working on this type of work for 20 years. This isn't my first rodeo. And I think that I need to let you know that there was a time when I've worked with some of you. We were friends, or we had a relationship. We looked at some of the same injustices and we were on the same page about it. But what I'm doing is because I could not work on the LSB. It did not work for me. But I am a community person and people are my currency. In other words, I built teams and coalitions since 2017 when I got on the board and 2018 when we reconstituted the CAB. The CAB is now becoming an important element for CPB funding. It always was, but there were certain things that most of you are unwilling to do. I'm not begging for respect. I give it. I think I should receive it. And to decide to take me off of something that I've championed and created and designed with multiple individuals, it is not the PK show. It is the community show. It belongs to the community. So how do we solve this problem? The thing about public comment is you can come and you can explain, criticize, critique, and you don't get a response. So the things keep happening. And I'd like to know just how you intend as an LSB to start listening to the public, listening to the listeners, pushing every programmer. If diversity you've got, but you don't have inclusion because the room where decisions happens is not on this page. It is not here at LSB meeting. And it's a shame because if you're going to keep having the secret meeting so that you can destroy a person, you're going to have to choose somebody else. I know who I am and I know whose I am. I'm a woman of faith. I have never, ever cursed anybody out or treated anybody less than respectful. But I've been strong in my opinions. And those opinions come from having lived. I am not 20 years old. I'll be 70. And in that time, I have learned a lot. And I have done a lot for this station. I wanted to be better. But I wanted to be not just the same people who will vote not to have governance or to take away the chat or to censor people or to say if I give some instructions about agreements, oh, that's for the people who come on public comment because somehow our critique makes us dilatory, makes something of us that we are not. We're not trying to destroy the station. We're trying to be a part of it. And you all are going to have to start making room. You all can try and do whatever you think you want to do about the cab, but the cab is an ongoing place so that people can be heard. And not just heard, but that we can try and figure out ways. Look, we can't adjudicate all of the past, but we need some truth and reconciliation so that we can go forward. When I see people rolling their eyes or smirking when I'm talking, you know, I've just decided not to even show my face. You know what I look like. You know who I am. At some point, somebody is going to have to break and say, what will it take, PK? How can we work on this together? Instead, you want to manipulate and gaslight me and tell me how awful I am. And decide that you can take something from me based on your opinions. Some of you know me, but others do not know me. And they do not know that I'm a community activist. I'm a writer. And so when I wrote this piece, and it's just a little short, piece of it, if you will indulge me for 2 minutes. I want you to know that I am serious about making KPFT true to its mission. And at some point, you're going to have to figure out a way to work with me because I'm not going anywhere. And so, in the 1800s, there was the great experiment. At the dawn of slavery's demise, we still weren't free until we started doing it for ourselves. And even as we forged our way, there were others who did their best to thwart our success. The piece that I'm writing for your, for the meeting that you've changed to June, is a PowerPoint presentation, and I will present it to the LSB at the appointed time. I'm not sending it ahead of time. I'm not. I want us to have a genuine conversation about what is required. Now, I'm a Christian, but there are those that are Buddhist and Catholic and Muslim and Jewish, but there's still one thing that I think is supposed to be what we all do. What is required of us? To do justice, to do mercy. And we're supposed to love one another, even if we don't always like one another. The station is a progressive station. We need media. And I'm tired of fighting a battle that's uphill. But I'm glad the mountain is now smooth or I couldn't climb it. I'm coming and climbing over broken hearts, troubled hearts, people's unwillingness to share. It's got to change. And I hope to be a catalyst for that change. But you've got to stop disrespecting me. Call me. Ask me a question. I don't have a problem with it. But these things to try and make me look incompetent, I'm damn good at what I do. And you're lucky to have me. We can either get it together or it's going to be a long uphill battle. I want you all to know that Sister Mama Sonia is not just my friend. She's my sister. And she's also a community person. And all she was doing was making the motion that I have been trying to get all of you to do for going on 4 years. I've tried to get you to do something that helps us learn how to get along. You don't want to believe that you do things that are based on structural racism. I get it. Just like I don't want to be known as lazy or the angry black woman or any of the stereotypes that have been pushed my way. I'm not begging you. I'm telling you that, and this has got to stop.
Okay, is there anyone else who wants to speak in public comment? So at the moment, we will go ahead. We have another 21 minutes of public comment. Go ahead and continue.
Madam Chair, I did not want to interrupt P.K. McCary, but has Venetia Williams been readmitted to the meeting? She was trying to get in.
She's on. She's in the meeting.
Got it. Thank you. Okay, so if anyone else wants to come on and have a public comment, great. We'll interrupt the regular agenda to come back to public comment. Next up is the PNB report. We have two PNB members with us this evening, Teresa and Marianne. Teresa, you want to lead off?
Yes. Okay. I want people to be aware. I sent you an email. Roy Tuckman had a show on KPFK. He's recently passed. Roy had a show Monday, I think, through Thursday from like midnight to 6 a.m. And he raised a lot of money. He had a very loyal following and living, you know, it was living proof that you could have a show in the middle of the night and be relevant and beloved and have a loyal, generous following. So if, I think if this, what I sent out to the LSB has a link to a Wikipedia page about him and also his website. The general managers are undergoing self-evaluation. As soon as they're finished with this self-evaluation, our executive director will be working toward getting the evaluation done for them. And I'm sure that some of them are looking forward to it because I think once you get that feedback, you can make change. I have a copy of the executive director's report, which we got at our most recent PNB meeting, and it has the elections timeline. The elections committee has met. We're meeting again this month, and the executive director is charged with finding the election supervisor, national election supervisor. So I wanted to just briefly tell you what the timeline is like. In April and May, they'll be doing the election preparation, which includes the election committee meeting, validating the lists from each station, so make sure that your membership is current and your friends and family that is current. We're going to line up the process. We're going to reactivate the website. That's going to take nominations and candidate information and voting information. We're going to develop the outreach plan for on-air website and social media. In June, they're going to do a GoFundMe for elections. And June 30th will be the final date for membership to be eligible to run for office and or vote. So everybody needs to get their membership current. In July, they're going to start the nomination process with the Fair Campaign Practices Certification and a petition that will be posted on the website. They're going to be actively promoting the election on social media and air, you know, and on the air and on websites. June 30th, the nominations will be due. So you'll have a month after the final due date to get, for membership to get your nomination in. In August, the 1st to the 15th, they'll be certifying those candidates. And the 15th through the 31st, you'll have candidate statements and survey answers collected to be posted. And then in September, on the 1st, candidate statements and the surveys will be posted on the website, and voting instructions will be on the website. Electronic will be encouraged. There'll be active promotion of the election on the air and on websites and social media. In October, October 1st is the deadline for the paper ballot requests. And that's the date that balloting opens. And somewhere in October, the voting will close. We're not sure of the date yet. In November, we're not sure of the date when the election results will be announced. So that's the timeline thus far. Looks pretty good to me. There was a fundraiser at three of the stations yesterday. It was an on-air fundraiser for the Pacifica Archives. Yesterday, WPFW submitted their budget to the Finance Committee. And while the general manager was on the air, he talked about how actually it was quite an effective fundraiser. People really seemed to be enjoying it and contributing to it. And they got a lot of information. I guess WPFW uses premiums quite a bit from the archives. And perhaps those people that heard a lot of the archive material on WPFW, which is basically 60% jazz and music, 40% public affairs. So they... At WPFW in D.C., they heard a lot of the archive material, and at this point, they got to hear a little bit more about the background of some of that material and why it's there and, you know, how we utilize our archives. So it was, an effective fund drive. The general manager at WPFW was saying, actually, a Tuesday was usually kind of a quiet day during the pledge drive. So this was a welcome change of pace that he thought that the listeners there appreciated. When I'm looking at the financials, they are not final. Therefore, I'm not sending them out. I think one of the biggest things we have to be concerned about is that some stations are not only have age payables, but they are not paying into central services, and fortunately, KPFT is catching up on anything that was behind. We will be looking at budgets, and I personally am not eager to say yes to any deficit budget. It's tough. You know, as you know, the building at KPFK is up for sale. And they're having real challenges just paying electricity, for example. So I encourage every one of you to think of how we pay that electric bill and how important it might be that you encourage members to keep their donations current. I think that's about it for now, unless anyone has questions.
Okay. No. So before getting to questions, to you, Teresa, and to Marianne, there is a member of the public who wishes to speak. and PK brought this person to my attention. Is that by phone 4892?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me also mention, and Sandy, Adriana is in the waiting room. Go ahead, 4892.
So thank you so much for letting me join this public. I really appreciate y'all, and I want to thank y'all, everyone on the board, for the work you do. I'm here to talk about supporting PK right now because, well, I guess I'm just going to be honest. I'm really not surprised that there's so much resistance on the board to solving these issues, to solving these race issues that we have. I'm a member of Houston Indie Media. We were illegally removed. We are an all women of color collective, all women of color illegally removed by a white man that is on the board, Sandy Wyman. And so it is no surprise to me that this is happening, but it is still very, very disappointing. It is very disappointing, especially that we have new members on the board. So I really, really want to y'all to really think about what's going on. At a previous meeting a couple months ago, I heard a member say that there was a, that she recognized that there was a clear lack of women programmers, at KPFT. I 100% agree. But unfortunately, and for some reason of which I cannot figure out, this same person and others amongst you cannot see that there is an extreme lack of programmers of color as well. It's the same problem. These are both problems we need to solve. But they are definitely both problems. So again, this is Venetia Patel Adams. I am a programmer with Houston Indie Media. We were illegally removed. I really, really want to encourage all of you to rethink what you're doing. This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity for you to try and fix these problems that people have been talking about for decades now. For decades. So, and I actually want to also extend an extra thank you to Mama QPK and Sister Mama Sonia, because I know personally that this is not easy to confront white people who are not even willing to listen about the problems that are so evident to the rest of us that are melanated, clear as day, and to a lot of white allies as well. I don't want to dismiss the white folks who are seeing the same thing that we're seeing. And you know what? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're lying here. I don't know, but please reconsider what you're doing. It's very, very important that you do move forward with reconciliation, because without people of color, what is this station really? Thank you.
Thank you. Quick reminder, as PK pointed out, public comment is not interactive. We listen to the public. We were in the middle, and we're going back to ENB reports, director's reports.
Madam Chair, yes. Thank you.
I see that you're here. Great. Welcome. Teresa was making her report. Let me ask Mary Ann whether you have anything to add. And Adriana, you are also a member of the PNB. So, Mary Ann, do you have anything you wish to bring up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unfortunately, I do serve on the governance committee, but there was a meeting and we did not make quorum. Our next meeting is going to be on May the 24th. And hopefully I'll have a report at our next meeting.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're a member of the PNB. Do you have a report?
I don't have a written report, but if somebody wants to ask question, obviously I brought to the PNB the problem with our member past, term out Mike Lewis to the PNB, and the PNB, we lacked on that. Okay, we'll make an investigation.
Okay, Okay, great. So are there questions for our directors? Nancy, you had your hand up, and then Ted. Do you have questions for the directors? Nancy, you first. Okay, I guess she took it down. Ted, you.
Yes, yes. I would like to. Did you hear me?
I'm sorry, Nancy, did you have a question for a director?
Yes, I'd like the directors to report, I mean, the voting, things that you vote on. Particularly, I was surprised that the PMB voted not to distribute the signed contracts to all the PMB members to see. Like 10 said no. And I would like some clarification. Why? What happened? What's going on with that? And also, the bylaw says that the NES is supposed to be the National Election Supervisor, supposed to be selected by March, and still we don't have one. No signed contract, nothing. And the elections committee, I mean, there was some kind of discussion about letting the ED be the NES. This is crazy. I mean, can somebody clarify what's going on about the elections, really? And about this voting not to have, transparency of the signed contracts. Thank you.
Teresa, we can't hear you.
Nancy, which signed contract are you talking about?
All.
I can answer.
Go ahead, Adriana. Adriana, your answer?
Yes. I believe that one of the problems that we are having, that is so sad that the other three directors from KPFD, Teresa Allen, Marianne Martinez, and Egberto, vote against my motion asking to receive the information that all the directors are entitled to. It's not any bunch of excuses. But I didn't ask for them to do it immediately, but our three directors and seven other PMB members voted against me receiving the information that I'm supposed to have. I'm a director, I'm entitled to that information, and those 10 directors, including our other three PMB members, voted against my motion. If you want, I can read you in a few minutes the motion that I pass and they vote against. Yes.
I'd like to respond to that. I'd really rather not hear it read. If you want to send it to the LSB, I mean, that'd be great. Frequently, I think I support, you in your requests for information. Because I think that sometimes things are thrust upon us. And if we don't ask, then we haven't actually read what we're voting on. But I think at one point, I think that our corporate counsel said that some of what you were asking for was unrealistic. For example, there was some sort of document and you wanted to specifically see his signature on something, and he couldn't access that as quickly as he had the blank version before he signed it. So he sent that, and that was not satisfactory to you.
Are you guessing, or you are telling
I'm
what
not
you
guessing
don't.
On this? I remember this conversation, and I remember
yes,
his.
But it's not what you vote against. It's not the
okay,
question.
Well, okay, yes, but I think that motion is just more of the same. I think you had a very long list of things that you wanted.
So what I would suggest is, Adriana, why don't you forward the motion that's under consideration under discussion to everybody on the LSB. And if people have questions for you or the other PMB members, they can post them in email, have a report in the future if necessary. Ted.
earlier this evening, we were told by our chair that we should not begin work on the evaluation of our IGM. And we were told this because of a directive from the executive director. I would like to know if the members, all three of you, if you signed off on this, and if you feel it is within her purview to tell us that we should not begin the process of evaluating our IGM.
I'd like to respond to that. I have been applying pressure to see the, to make sure that those evaluations were done. But we just met, our executive director just finished an application to CPB, and that was due on Monday. So she has been asking for many, many things from the general managers. And one of the problems, for example, is that we have not paid for ratings. So, and CPB wants ratings. They want to know how many people are listening, when. And it's real difficult to get that if you haven't been willing to pay the money for that. So now that they have provided all kinds of information that she needed to get that document submitted, and I think it's several hundred pages long, now she's got to get focused back on helping them with their self-evaluations. And as I said, we have the budget from WPFW, and we have our budget. That needs to go through finance committee. And I know for just as an example, the general manager at WPFW has just been working very hard to find different locations where he can easily save one quarter to one third of what they've been paying right now. And end up with a site where they can have fundraisers, in a venue that holds about 100 people every month. They have access to that in a facility, for example, that they share space. So it's a smaller space in some ways, but in another way, they have shared conference rooms and this performance space. I think that's a great idea. We could have, 100 people every month, at a musical event, right in our station. I think that'd just be wonderful. So, the general managers are very busy.
So as I recall, Stephanie, and Ted, I'm following up on your question about the evaluations. Stephanie came and spoke to us, and she said that from the standpoint of appropriate personnel management, not placing employees in a position in which they have grievances, that it is appropriate for the executive director to first have the personnel evaluations with the GMs, and then subsequently the LSB evaluation. And the ED attends those meetings. We have a lot of personnel problems around the system, and those in large part because we have very bad personnel management procedures. So she's trying to put those in place and dovetail what is appropriate HR practice with what the bylaws provide. You had asked, boy, when did we do our last evaluation? I don't know. We didn't do it at the 6-month point with Dr. Franklin. We didn't do it before he left. I think that many of the stations do not do their GM evaluations. And so it, I believe, is Sandy's goal to have an evaluation as soon as that is possible, and that will be scheduled. Okay, Robert Gartner, questions?
Let me know, Madam Chair, when I can answer some of that.
Sure. Apologies. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. I agree with part of what you said. It's true that the foundation have a bunch of personal problems and things are not doing the correct way. And it's one thing what the executive director and management need to do, but I think that what we are talking about is what is in our bylaw, and it's one of the tasks, one of the duties of the LSB is make the evaluation of our general manager. Have nothing to do with the executive director or anything else. I think that we did it in the past, not so frequently, but we did it in the past, and we need to do our duties. We know exactly what we need to do, and we need to, I agree totally, be totally respectful, be careful. We don't want, I mean, this is a foundation that everybody wants to, you know, make lawsuits. We shouldn't do that. We should be really careful that we did in the past, doing an executive session and do our duties. What they, at the national level, they do or they don't, you know perfectly that other stations don't work, work in a different way, but have nothing to do with us. I think that is absolutely necessary that we do our duties. And I sent to the entire LSP, I hope that you received it already, the motion that I talked before that was that I moved the PMB to direct Mr. Schwartz, Ms. Wells, and or whoever possesses to send me the documentation that I'm entitled to and I have repeatedly requested. That is a motion that our other three directors voted against. Thank you.
That to everybody. I think, let me be clear, I believe that we need to fulfill our bylaws required duty. It does not require that we do that in advance of a year, if I'm not mistaken. And I recall when I first came on the board, you were opposing that we do an evaluation of Dr. Franklin when he was coming up on the 6 months. I believe we do need to. It is our bylaws responsibility of the board, and I recommend that we have an evaluation with the IGM as soon as the HR efforts have been completed. Okay, Robert Gartner.
Madam Chair, tell me when, because you say things about me that I think that are incorrect. Tell me when will be my time to answer you. Thank you.
Okay, please, right now. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I agree absolutely that we should do evaluations. I was never against evaluation. What I against is trying to hire somebody and immediately start trying to join that person. We need at least have a record and see what that person does. I'm not saying that we need to finish the evaluation, but if we don't have the management selection and review committee even working, how can we can start even thinking in making the required evaluation? That is my point. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Robert Gartner.
Yeah, my question could pertain to a few things that Teresa Allen was saying about elections. I'm not sure. She will know when I ask the question, but I certainly would entertain information or an update on the question from any one of you. The question is, I read that a lawsuit was filed against, I believe it was KPFA, and there was a ruling, I think, done at the end of March where a judge sustained that the lawsuit was had merit, and he issued, you know, if a demand is too strong, but effectively, I think there were as many as six people that remained on the board and were going to remain on the board indefinitely, and so pressure was brought to ask the elections be held. So is that something that you can respond to, Teresa?
I can answer some of that, Madam Chair.
Adriana, why don't you go ahead?
Well, we need to be really, really careful, Mr. Gardner, because some of the information, when a lawsuit is pending, we need to be really careful because some of the information that we have as directors are an executive session from our lawyer. I mean, some of the information is a bunch of information on that is public, and obviously you are entitled to that. We cannot give you some of the confidential information that we have from the foundation lawyer. That is one of the reasons. When it's a pending litigation, obviously we are bound by our confidentiality because we receive that in executive session and in the confidential basis. Okay.
Could I just follow up with that then? I think yep. There is no pending issue there. And, you know, Teresa mentioned elections. Are we to assume that, something is happening? I mean, my impression that lawsuit was decided. So, and you haven't really said whether it is or whether it's not, Adriana.
I'm on the elections committee, and the elections committee is working to move forward as quickly as possible. The very problem that we had last year, we have this year, and that is lack of funds. So it has been difficult to find someone to be the NES because of the lack of funds. Unable to find somebody in March, efforts are being made by the executive director to identify and engage somebody to be the NES at a very seriously reduced level from prior years. And a lot of the work that has to be done, such as cleaning the list and so forth, is stuff that management is the start for that. The instruction from the judge was to hold the election in 2023. So, Nancy.
Are you on the PNB, Susan?
I'm on the elections committee, and I was on the PNB when those decisions were made. Yeah. And I have heard what outcome it has been reported in the elections committee, what that simple outcome of the litigation was. Okay, Nancy.
Yes, I want to know why Teresa and Marianne and Egberto voted not to distribute for the council, chief counsel lawyer of Pacifica, a contractor lawyer, was not to voting. Why did they vote not to distribute the signed contracts to the PMB directors, who are the head of the Pacifica Foundation?
Asked that question, and Teresa answered you.
I did.
No, Marianne didn't say anything, and Teresa did not answer correctly.
Yes.
I want to know, what is wrong with having a signed contract? Because you know, Nancy, if it's signed, Nancy, it is the final contract. If it's a blank contract, it's not evidence.
In the bylaws, she has been cited for disruptive behavior. Okay,
Susan,
moving on.
I'm asking my representative.
Point of order.
A simple question.
Point of order,
why are
Madam
you
Chair.
Obstructing it?
Second time.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move that Nancy Sybarnar-Tomey be acknowledged as being out of order for disrupting the meeting and arguing with the chair.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there a discussion?
Madam Chair, Adriana?
Yes.
I don't know how we can entertain a point of order that is trying to punish somebody that is asking a question. We are the representatives. They are, you want to answer, it's okay, Susan, but you are the chair of the board. I mean, if a member asks anyone of us, if people don't want to answer, they don't have to answer. But if we want, you know, in my case, I want to answer her. Yeah, and I agree with her. You know, Susan, you are doing the same. You gave me the floor, and you gave me the floor, and you talk over me.
You're disruptive of the proceeding, and that is, it's not the question asked, it's being disruptive of the proceeding. I find that Teresa's point of order has merit. All right.
What is the break? What's the law breaking? Can you tell me what is the law breaking here for a point
the law,
of
the law breaking is, it's being disruptive, is being dilatory and disruptive in a meeting by yelling. That's
asking
what it
a
is.
Question?
No, she went beyond. She had already asked the question. It had been answered, and she was yelling it over and over again. The
I didn't answer that question.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Meeting with you. All right, Mr. Secretary.
Madam Chair.
Yes?
I suppose the question at this point is, does Nancy Sabara Naratomi appeal the decision of the chair? If so,
Thank
we
you.
Would
Nancy,
vote.
Thank you. Nancy, do you appeal the decision of the chair?
With a discussion.
Okay.
No, when does discussion end?
Move to vote. We just go
we
to vote.
We open this for discussion. Where is it?
We are going straight to the vote. Mr. Secretary, please take
without
the
discussion.
Without discussion? Did you vote yes? You are supporting the ruling of the chair. If you vote no, and the ruling of the chair is that Nancy is cited for disruptive behavior. If you vote no, you are not supporting the ruling of the chair. Mr. Secretary, please take the roll.
I have a question.
Not right now. Go ahead.
No, Richard. It's about this. It's about this ruling. Is a contract unsigned,
no.
Blank contract, an actual document of any merit?
Nancy, that is not the question. You're yelling and being disruptive is what's under the vote now, not that question. Richard, please take the roll.
I believe there's a motion on the floor.
There is. The motion is to cite Nancy. The motion is to support the ruling of the chair. Richard, take the roll.
Okay, Alan?
Not the motion.
Alan?
Alan says yes to support the chair for Nancy Sabara Naratomi being cited as being disruptive and arguing with the chair.
I'm here. I'm sorry, okay. But that is a point of order. Is yes,
yes
or no? It's not discussion.
Yes, yes, and Adriana, we will be citing you next. Continue with the vote.
Thank you. Teresa, too?
Richard, continue with the vote.
Okay, hang on. Britton?
Yes.
Yes. Cassanave?
No.
No. Gardner?
Hell no.
Hell no. James. Wally. Are you still here? Yeah, you're here. Mike Lewis.
Yes.
Wally
yes.
Just unmuted.
Lokander.
Wally just unmuted.
Abstention.
Who did that?
Lokander. Abstention.
Lokander's abstain.
Okay. Yes.
Martinez.
Yes.
Yes. Pratka, you're here. Sabara Naratomi.
No.
No. Sister Mama Sonia.
No.
No. Stone. Stone. Uzel, yes. Weinman.
Abstain.
Weiskel.
Abstain.
Williams.
Abstain.
Young.
Yes.
Yes. Did I miss anyone?
Wally.
You missed Mac.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mac. Yeah. Oh, I marked through you, Mike. okay, how you vote, Mac? Mac?
I said yes. Oh.
Yeah. Yes, okay. You might have been.
Wally James is back.
Wally James?
I abstain.
You're going to abstain? Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the count is 7, 4, 5. 7 yes, 4 no, and 5 abstention.
Okay, so the ruling of the chair is sustained.
Madam Chair, we have a point of information?
Yes. Adriana.
We have 5 abstentions. Normally, in a vote like this, the 5 abstentions, you can consider that there are no votes, right? I want this in the minutes, please, exactly the count that it is. Thank you.
Absolutely. Put that in the minutes, please.
What in the minutes? The count?
Yes, the count in the minutes.
The count always goes in the minutes.
Okay, moving on to the next subject. We're now committee composition. Teresa, do you have a motion?
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm not in the place where I'm seeing the agenda, but it's in the motion.
Alan,
is
here. I can read it in the agenda. Alan moves that the KPFT LSB Committees of Development and Outreach be combined to one with the title of the Development and Outreach Committee. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Teresa, would you like to motivate?
Yes. WPFW has a combined committee, and we have tried several times to have these meetings separate. So they tie up two days of the month rather than one. And I feel, and both committees have voted and said yes, they wanted to have the committees combined. We'll save on the time it takes to post meetings, save time for people to log in to attend meetings. It'll free people up to go to other meetings, because if you're on the national board, you might have so many meetings that it's difficult scheduling to be on one committee if you have so many other committees. So we have both committees decided they wanted to be combined. And I hope you'll vote yes.
They moved in second. hands up. Are there any objections? All right, then. That motion passes.
This is Nancy.
Yes, Nancy.
Did the motion, I can't see it. Did the motion include one chair, one secretary, or is it like two chairs? Because we discussed about two chairs.
This
one for development and one for at the meeting.
Perhaps. Teresa, would you like to address that?
Having two chairs was discussed in the outreach committee meeting because at the time the current chair of outreach was willing to continue, but since that time he has expressed an unwillingness to continue as chair. So the committee will meet on June. We just had the May meeting, so we will have the June meeting
on the 6th of June, and at that time, we will take nominations for chair, one chair. Now, if someone, actually, I've had someone that has offered, Venetia Williams offered to do a community calendar, so like a major portion of the meeting can be given to her so she can conduct that if she likes. And, you know, if there's someone that wants to serve as chair, they can get nominated for a portion of the meeting if they like. But I know that on the 6th of June, we're going to take nominations for chair and secretary.
Okay. So I'm not sure if there is an objection. I didn't hear an objection.
Yeah. No.
So the motion is
no objection.
Excuse me, what?
There was no objection. We're moving on.
Yeah, there was.
To what?
Yeah, Nancy, because Teresa said she would not be present, that she would be there only for development, and then she would leave, and that she did not want to be chair of both committees. That was what we discussed before. So I'm a little bit...
Why can't y'all figure that out? Why can't y'all figure that out at the meeting? It's off course. Why can't you figure that out at the meeting?
Hey, everybody, be quiet. I'm hearing more than one person. Teresa, would you
stop interrupting, Richard?
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right, Bob.
Teresa, would you clarify that about chairs? And yes, will everybody be quiet who isn't recognized by the chair?
I will entertain a nomination for a person who wants to chair the outreach and the development portions of the meeting. However, if the committee decides they only want to have one chair, then that's the way it's going to be.
So then, as I understand it, that will be a decision made in the committee by a vote in the committee. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, do I hear an objection to the motion to combine committee? Hearing none, that motion is approved. Okay, now for committee and task force reports. Convener Jane Scheidler is not here for MSRC, but as we noted, the MSRC will be convened as soon as the evaluation can be conducted, the LSE evaluation of the IGM. Finance.
So, yes, we met last Tuesday, a week ago. The IGM and Markeisha, I'm drawing a blank on her last name. Oh, my God. Anyway, thank you. They have produced a draft of a budget, which, frankly, is it was greeted with some excitement. We're in the black for a minute. And, well, you know, pardon me, I'm losing my train of thought. And, the IGM's going to fine tune it maybe a little bit, but, forecasts, if that's the word, 10% increase, which is the, in the budget, which is, the maximum that the bylaws will allow. And everybody keep your fingers crossed for the current pledge drive. We will meet again. It's posted on KPFTX. I want to say it's June 7.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't hold me that date. Don't hold me that date. It's on KPFTX.
It's right. The 7th is right.
That
okay. Are there questions? Adriana, did you have a question for Matt?
Yes. Did you, I'm sorry, but you know, with all the changes, I couldn't be present at that meeting. That's why I'm asking you, did you approve the draft budget?
No. We looked at it. We talked about it. There may be some fine tuning. We will consider it in June.
Okay. And you will bring it to the LSB.
And we hope to bring it to the LSB thereafter.
Thank you.
Okay. The next report is governance. Richard, you're the convener.
Okay. The governance committee will convene on May the 25th.
I think it's Chris Rock.
At 7 o'clock.
Okay. Outreach and development. Teresa, would you mind handling Captain Tom is in the hospital with his daughter, and the committees have just been combined. Teresa, you're muted.
Did you want me to report on what outreach
have done?
Yes.
And a lot of those things have been reported on by Sandy and in other and in other places. So maybe you can give us an abbreviated version.
Okay. I want you to be aware that we have several outreach activities coming up, and that will includes the International Festival on the 20th, which is a Saturday. Three of us attended last year, so if you would like to participate in that, please see me. We have not had any takers to distribute materials at the Pride Parade. As you know, the Pride Parade this year will not have a festival. We were not going to participate in the festival anyway, but we were going to distribute flyers. But we have not heard back from any programmers at this time or anyone. Actually, we do have one volunteer to participate in the Pride. I cannot participate in that this year. We are also looking into the possibility of distributing materials at Juneteenth or having a table. If you'd like to participate in that, please contact Robin Lewis or me. Robin is also checking into the possibility of tabling at events at Discovery Green in June. And so if you'd like to do that, we have two volunteers to do that already, but we can always use another person, as, you know, some people will be walking around. I think that's about it for outreach. For development, Cassandra Thibodeau is involved in a musical event on the 17th of June at 14 Pews. If you would like to help her with that, please contact me or contact Robin, and please be persistent. This can be a lovely fundraiser, and it's a wonderful venue, and I think the people are very warm, and it's just great to meet the KPFT supporters that attend these musical events. But at this point, Cassandra is prepared to do it by herself, but I would prefer that she has some volunteers. I don't think we can count on Robin being at this event. Robin has asked that we project into the future more, so we're going to try to work on calendars that project us into the future. And I thank Manicia Williams very much for offering to do a calendar for outreach. And that's all we have at this time. We'll probably do some lapsed donor calls next week.
Okay.
Question.
Sorry, Richard.
Richard? Can you tell us something about the 14 Pews event last week?
Yes, I made carrot cake, and it wasn't last week, it was the week before, and it was very popular. I made Texas caviar. Not too much takers for the caviar, so that just meant more for us.
And Richard made.
Yes. Richard made cupcakes. He made two different cupcakes, a lemon cupcake with blueberry icing and a strawberry cupcake with strawberry icing. Very well received. And I took a number of it home because, and I still have your pans. But everyone who had the cupcakes really enjoyed them.
Okay, moving on. Committee of Inclusion, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm waiting for the answer for one of our members, but probably the first meeting will be next week and will be in person, obviously.
Yeah.
We met in person.
You have a date on that?
I'm waiting. Like I said, I cannot tell you exactly because I'm waiting. You know, we are in a small committee and I want to be sure that all the members can meet that day.
Yeah, that's fine.
One of them to answer. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, Sister Mama Sonia, Ad Hoc Anti-Racism. I think that group has not as yet convened, and perhaps we can have a report on it next time. Henry Faust isn't here. Sandy, I think you have the reports on the grant. It was the Hershey Foundation, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay, so we learned from the Hershey Foundation that we had a couple of problems that need to be addressed. One is for collaborating with more organizations, but the other is the severe financial situation that we face and that cast the pall over seeking grants. NECI, Fundraising Task Force, 53 by 53.
Okay, so I did my due diligence. I said I was going to have it ready for this meeting, and I do. I'm going to just overview what I did, and when I get through giving this report, I'm going to email it out to everybody so everybody will know where it is, and you won't have to go look for it because I'm going to email it out as soon as I get through talking. But anyways, let me start with the fundraiser that I thought about last month when Sandy was talking. When he was talking about getting rid of the CDs and all that stuff. My old radio station, KUSF, they have been doing for 37 years an event called Rock the Swap or Swap the Rock. But anyway, in the email that I'm going to send everybody, it has a reference. It has a reference link so you can go look it up yourself. Basically, it started just like what I'm about to describe when the station was trying to get rid of all of the albums in the album room. They came up with this fundraiser, which is called Rock the Swap. And what they do is they sell all of their old records. So when Sandy was talking about getting rid of the CDs, it dawned on me, okay, we can do the same thing. So basically all of the details are in that. My tentative dates for this is number one is Black Friday weekend. And then the other one is our birthday weekend. Personally, I think we need to tie more things into our birthday. We also, and I know I'm segueing to 53 on 53 right now, but we need to tie more things into 53 on 53. Next year be 54 on 54. And we also need to anoint that as our annual campaign. One of the things I feel like I've noticed is that people are tired of hearing about fund drive. People like to give money, but people like to give money to fund things. So basically, that's what I came up with that. All of that's outlined to the other fundraiser that I came up with. And you know, 53 on 53 is virtual, meaning just pick up the phone, however you want to donate your money, donate your money. The other thing that I came up with is the Seize Candy fundraiser, which is also virtual or you are computer-based. And I don't know how many people know about See's Candy, but See's Candy is one of the most.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we don't have any more stores in Houston, period. Because when Rice and Bacurin closed their last store, they got rid of See's Candy. So See's Candy has what's called a fundraising program. Whatever you sell, you earn 50% of it. You ain't got to do no inventory. You just send out the little links and tell your friends to buy See's Candy. And we get 50% of the profits. So basically, those are my three fundraisers. And to store, and the what's going to make the Rock and Swap work, we're going to have volunteers out the yin-yang. We cannot do it because, first of all, we got to inventory everything we got to sell. We got to price everything we're going to sell. That's just a part of it. So, like I said, I'm going to send you out this email as soon as I get through talking. But I move that you, for the acceptance of my report, since it's, everything in that report is an action item.
So I suggest that you go forward with them. I don't think there are any objections. And, what help do you need?
I just need volunteers. So all your friends, what I want right now is a volunteer pool. I know we talk about this, but volunteers for everything. This volunteer is going to be for our event. So anybody that's interested in being a volunteer, anybody that's interested in being on the fundraising committee, just send me an email, please. Say if you want to be on a committee or say if you want to be a volunteer. Either way. And soon as I get probably about 10 folks, then I'll call a meeting. And we can meet and talk about it specifically. So but in the meantime, everybody can go to kusf.org/rockswap or rock swap and look at what they have been doing for 37 years. Like I say, it started out just like we're getting ready to start this one off, and they've been doing it for 37 years. And it's the largest swap and rock meet, swap meet in Northern California.
Help me in. I'll be a volunteer. Thank you.
Oh, okay. So I'm getting ready to email it out to everybody. I'm looking it up right now. And that's my report.
Any questions for Nisi? Okay, we'll have a full presentation.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes.
Nisi, are you going to send us something in writing so we know the dates?
Yeah, I'm going to send it right now, Teresa. Is that Teresa? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, okay. Teresa. I'm literally pulling it up, getting ready to send it.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who else I need to send this to.
We'll have a full
Tab presentation. Is Sandy still on the LSB list, or I have to send it to him right by himself?
Yeah, he's
just
still on the LSB.
Actually, copy GM at KPFT, please.
Oh, okay, please. Cool.
That would be handy. Thank you. I don't get
okay, cool.
Everything that's sent to him.
Okay, got it. I got it. All right. Any more questions? Well, thank you guys for understanding. Love
thank
y'all.
Thank you. Community Advisory Board, we will have a serious time for a presentation and discussion at our next meeting.
Point of order.
What?
He keeps saying point of order.
What's your point of order?
I put in the chat what I believe is accurate regarding the MSRC. And what I said there is that it is not up to the chair, the executive director, or even this body to vote to delay the activity of the MSRC and to delay the process of beginning the evaluation of the general manager. It is in the bylaws, and we should not wait. And if our chair is not available, then you should appoint someone to be the interim chair and to begin holding meetings to do this work. And that's my point of order.
Let me remind you that Dr. Franklin had been on board for quite a period of time and never called for his evaluation. We did him a disservice. Sandy has not been in for a year. We are in the middle of a fund drive. We're not asking to postpone it without end. It is convenient soon when it is timely. So I'm not going to recognize that complaint.
Well, I'm chatting
with information.
New business.
Request for information.
What's your request?
When does it mark 1 year?
Next July. July. He started July 1.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes, Adriana.
I have it because I'm sorry, I don't know how to call your attention because I raised my hand, but for whatever reason, maybe you don't see it. About the management selection and review committee. Remember that we have there what the management selection and review committee is supposed to do. It's not the only mission is review the general manager. We have other things to do. Is part of that committee. I believe that we are doing a disservice that we don't start that committee. That doesn't mean that we need to start doing the review of the general manager if it's not a near on the job. I think that if we see the definition that you have, that we have in our standing rules about management selection and review committee, have more things that reviewing the general manager. You know, and I believe that it's true. We have that, you know, the past year didn't convene. We can start with that committee and then see if it's anything that we can be doing because we need to do other things, recommend pool of candidates, check a bunch of things.
So Adriana, at the moment, we have not initiated a GM because we do not have budget for it.
I understand. I understand that part. But the question is about management selection and review committee can start working anyway because it's not the only function to evaluate the general manager.
Sorry, Richard?
Yeah, the management selection review committee does not review committees. It is a committee. It doesn't review committees. The only thing that it reviews is a manager and a program manager. We don't have all those positions. You know, y'all have to get that card out in front of the horse, but you're going to have to just be a little bit patient.
Madam Chair, the same name is telling a management selection and review committee. Part of the work of that committee is try to get a pool of candidates like program director, general manager. That is part of what that committee does.
That's not part of the committee. No, that's not.
Okay.
Yes, it's in the name, Richard.
That's not a reflection of you.
Everybody be quiet. Okay. We do not have budget for manager or program director. At such time that we do, we can convene. Yes, Sandy, please address this.
Yeah, exactly right, Susan. The budget that's being considered is attempting to get more paid people on board, but these are $15 an hour positions. This is not a competitive salary for a general manager in the Houston radio market, and even for us, we were paying about half competitive rates when we last had a paid general manager. So we can look, but keep in mind that the expectations have to be tempered. Further, I think it's Stephanie's intent to do the self-evaluation and make sure that everything is handled so that more lawsuits don't pop up across the network. We've got to be really careful. The last one only cost us $300,000. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ted?
Speaking of being careful, we did not hire Sandy Weinman in an appropriate way, in my opinion, and it puts us in front of possible legal action. We may find that other people are willing to do this job for free if we post it. Putting all of that aside, there are things that this committee has done in the past, and I have been a member of it, that establishes the criteria for evaluation. We need to begin meeting not to evaluate the general manager, but to begin the process so that we are ready to evaluate the general manager, which apparently we will have the opportunity to do and must do beginning in July. It is a failure to do our fiduciary responsibility by not having a convener and a meeting of this committee beginning within the next 30 days. I call upon our chair to either chair this meeting herself or to appoint someone to be the convener of it.
Thank you. I'll take that under consideration. There is a convener, and I will talk to her about the timing of it. Okay. We have a new business item, which was added to the agenda, and that is the motion to initiate meetings in person rather than by Zoom. That motion is made by Ted. Is there a second?
Second.
Hey, Adriana has seconded.
It's already been seconded by me.
Sorry, Robert, I didn't hear that. Okay, so Robert, you seconded it. Ted, would you like to motivate?
Yes, there's a bunch of reasons why we should be meeting in person. It begins with our bylaws. It says, you know, that we are supposed to meet in person on a regular basis, monthly or bi-monthly. You can see by example, last month and this month, the number of people participating in this meeting in terms of public comment has dwindled to levels that I have never, ever seen before. There is a need for us to begin to communicate with one another, and Zoom is not the ideal way to do it. I would like to also add that we need to be able to socialize with one another and our members by doing so in a public meeting. We can do that. I am sure we can find free locations. COVID officially is over. That was the grounds by which we established these Zoom meetings. It is time for us to follow what I think most of Pacifica is now doing on a local level and what is going on in our society. We should give the responsibility to Susan Young, and if she wants to have a ad hoc committee to do research so that we can meet face-to-face, then she should go ahead and do that. But we need to meet face-to-face, and I would prefer that we meet on a Saturday, as many Pacifica bodies do, but that's a separate issue. Face-to-face is vitally important, and I will stop there.
Okay, Richard.
Yeah, face-to-face is grooved, but I don't think there's no reason to rush. I still in groups, I don't go to groups, you know, cause I don't trust the fact, you know, people, I have friends just last week they got COVID. You know, there's no reason to rush this thing.
I'm going to vote squarely against this motion.
Nisi.
Well, I'm all for a meeting in person, but the bottom line is, and Ted, if you're keeping up with the news or if you're keeping up with professionals, yeah, somebody got on the news and, oh, COVID is over with. Have you talked to medical personnel? I talk to them every day. COVID is not over with. It has started up again. And quite frankly, I don't know what y'all been doing in y'all houses. I'm going to be real with you right now. I have not gotten COVID. I don't plan to get COVID. That is because I have been extra. I don't even go to work because I don't even want to be around nasty little children who don't know how to stay at home when they're sick. Well, it's not just them. It's their parents. So when you sitting up here talking about, oh, well, COVID is not over with. Oh, COVID is over with. COVID is not over with. They just got an article. Go do your homework. Pull up the articles that say people are not doing their due diligence in protecting themselves from this virus. Now, you've been screaming about us meeting for over 2 years now. COVID definitely wasn't over with 2 years ago. We need to meet in person. I agree with that. Totally 100% agree with that. And to say we need to meet next month, that ain't even 30 days. You're not giving anybody a chance to go find a place to meet. Because when you find a place, you're going to have to bring that back to the body. And the body is going to have to vote on it. Especially if there is a cost. Like there was a cost at the Montrose Center. So, I don't know what else to say. I'm saying it. I'm talking now because I'm in talking mode these days. And I just don't feel like, I don't know. It, whatever. To whatever y'all vote on, that's whatever y'all vote on. I will always follow the majority. That I will do. I'm not one of these Republicans that want to fight the democracy. No, I believe in democracy. So whatever y'all vote on is whatever y'all vote on. But don't sit up here and tell no lie talking about COVID is over with. That's a lie.
Sandy.
I'm done.
Teresa Sandy. For the staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I fully agree with Nisi. I have a few medications that the doctors prescribe, so CVS is constantly sending me texts, and I got one the other day that said the government has approved a COVID booster for seniors. Come get it. COVID's not over. The pandemic emergency has been considered to be over, but the disease is not. And when I look around the room, I don't care who we're talking to here, we're all at risk. And I think we can be err on the side of caution and take a little more time. Another thing I got to add, we come from all over the city in gasoline-powered vehicles, adding to the pollution, adding to our cost to get there. Here we can do this from the comfort of our own chair and home and whatnot. You're right. There's an element that doesn't exist of being social and interactive. But in a way, we get our business done, and things have continued, and they will continue. No need to panic. I'm going to vote against this. Thank you.
Robert, did you with us yet? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we have the Union Hall in Sutherland. I don't think they ever charged anything. And you can go into Kelsey Seabold now and not wear a mask, and nobody says anything. I've had it twice, and I almost didn't know each time that I did have it. So, I think the federal government has declared that, we're beyond that. And, I think there's a huge need for us to meet in person. That's why I brought this up a few months ago, if you remember. Thank you.
Sister Mama Sonia, I'm sorry. I think I've got several people on the staff. Sister Mama Sonia, Richard, and Teresa, I believe. Sister.
Yes, I'm against meeting in person myself. My husband and I, we've been very, very careful. Yet we got COVID twice because he does go to work. Maybe that's where I got it. But, they did say last week that the pandemic is over. And that same day, my dearest friend called me and she said, you know, the wedding we were going to go to, five people came down with COVID at the wedding. So COVID ain't going nowhere. It's not gone. It's still here. So I am against, meeting in person. We can always meet on, like we're meeting now. And it's just easier. So I'm against meeting in person.
Thank you. Richard and then Teresa.
I just wanted to remind people that over a million people died in the United States with COVID. This is not something to play with, folks.
Teresa.
I voted to have this discussion because I really would like to hear the pros and cons. When I think about driving around the town, driving around Houston, trying to find the place for the meeting, possibly getting caught in traffic, it's rather stressful. And I have to admit, I think that Zoom, which we did not even consider when we wrote the bylaws in 2002, has been tremendously convenient and effective. I wish people would turn their cameras on so I could see them, but I feel that we have less time in traffic, more quality time to speak, and I'm going to say I do not want to go back to live meetings, not at this time. Maybe consider it in 8 months or something like that. But this time, I'm really content to see you at some of the KPFT events, like at 14 Pews or Rockefeller's, or see you at the station doing volunteer work. But I think the prudent thing to do right now is stay with Zoom. Thank you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take the vote. I believe everybody's had the chance to speak at least once. Richard, please take the vote.
Point of order.
What's your point?
Our standing rule says that everyone has an opportunity to speak twice. And I would like to speak.
I will accept, Ted, that you speak a second time as the motivator.
I want to just read a part of page 24 of 45 of our bylaws, and I'm only reading one sentence of it. Meetings shall be held within the local radio station area in facilities of sufficient size to accommodate members affiliated with that radio station and public, preferably in the station. Well, we don't have facilities large enough in the station. We can meet elsewhere. There should be no vote. The bylaws are clear on this, and we should meet in a facility. Zoom.
We're going
to a facility.
You've made your point. Well, go ahead and take the vote, Richard.
Okay.
If you vote yes, you were voting for in-person meetings. If you vote no, you're voting to continue by Zoom. Yes for in-person, no for Zoom.
Okay, Alan?
Alan says no.
No. Britton?
No, let's keep Zooming.
No. Casanave?
Yes.
Yes. Gardner?
Yes.
Yes. James?
No.
No. Lewis?
No.
No. Locander?
No.
No. Martinez?
No.
No. Sabarnar Tomi? Nancy?
No, and I object to being muted, not having my hand raised, and nobody's calling on me.
Okay.
No, they can't see you.
MacPherson? Sean Kelly? Are you there?
He may not still be.
He might have connectivity problems.
Yeah, he might. Sister Mama Sonia?
No.
No. Stone? Uzel, no. Weinman?
No.
No. Weiskel?
Yes.
Yes. Williams?
No.
No. Young?
No.
No. No, wait a minute. Okay, it's 3 yes and 12 no.
Okay, so the no's have it. We'll continue to meet by Zoom. We're at the end of the agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Don't move.
Is there a second? Yes, there's a second. Is there any objection?
No.
Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, all.